Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second last episode of the Re-Evolve Media Revolution podcast. My name is Jordan Lewis, and today's episode features Calgary Canadian underground hip-hop artist Kay the Chosen. While this intro is being recorded on the day of release here on February 22nd, 2024, we first interviewed Kay the Chosen back in 2020, roughly 4 years ago. And this interview was done last year in 2023. The reason it has taken so long to reach the public is related to the reason that this is the penultimate episode. I was under the impression that the cost had exceeded the value. This was a lie I told myself based on random obstacles in a short time frame and failure to look at the big picture. In other words, current problems had clouded past achievements and future ambitions. Being an artist is not easy. Delving into the unknown and expressing channeled emotion is a skill that takes development, and oftentimes a lot of pain. Just like working out a muscle, you don't often see the growth because of how gradual and layered it is. It's easy to forget that you're not just building strength, you're building character. Only you can build your character. We've had many artists express interest in participating in the podcast that made it to different stages without fully following through, sometimes canceling at the last minute. It's very difficult to invest in artists who aren't investing in themselves and absolutely committed to the game. Many give up. Most talk about the grind more than they live it. I know this not just through hours of study, but also through personal experience. I put on hold my own artistry to try and be the person I needed when I was younger. Then I used that as an easy excuse to blame other people for my lack of personal progress. I look at Kay the Chosen and how he has not only diversified his talent since we first talked 4 years ago, but he has a schedule full of varying events he hosts and performs. On top of that, he organically built a local network full of people who support him in a variety of ways. Kay the Chosen didn't give up. He adapted. He evolved. He planned, he performed, he rinsed, and he repeated. I am not giving up my goals related to this podcast. Just switching gears for a bit. Anyways, getting to it, here is Kay the Chosen.
What is up, everybody? I'm here with Kay the Chosen, based out of Calgary, Alberta. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, bro?
I'm excellent, man. I'm excellent. So yeah, how have you been over the last 2 weeks since we spoke last?
It's been busy, I'm not gonna lie, but I like
busy in the classical sense.
Classic
Kay the Chosen style.
Classic Kay the Chosen style. Love that.
Yeah,
just lots of projects we're working on right now. So kind of just preparing for summer. And as we get closer, obviously we're getting closer to execution time. So we're just planning out releases and stuff, trying to make sure that things don't clash.
It sounds well managed then.
Oh, thanks. I try.
Well, in theory, it sounds well managed because I know last time you were telling me it was getting dangerously close to being all consuming.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, it's the joys, but also I guess the gift and curse of being, I guess, a solo artist or self-managed, I think is actually the better term, a self-managed artist.
Or in love with what you do.
Or in love with what you do. Yeah, I think so many ways you can look at it.
Yeah, and it all depends on perspective, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes. I feel as long as you're getting your caloric intake, like a healthy caloric intake and a healthy amount of sleep, you're doing something right. These are all assumptions I'm making, though.
No, I agree. Like, I feel, for me, I measure my week based on how many times I've been able to make it to the gym. If I've been able to make it to the gym regularly, then we're good. Because it means I'm still making time for, like, an hour to myself, just chilling, just listening to music and working on my body.
Yeah, absolutely. Advancing something that's not directly related to music.
Exactly. If I skip the gym, it means that I've completely blocked off my schedule. So it's like, you're working a little too hard.
So how many days a week do you put yourself in the gym?
Ideally four.
Okay, so nice.
Usually it's like during the week because weekends are just so irregular. Like if I wanted to go to the gym the same time over the weekend, it would never happen.
At least I
can either go right after work or during my lunch break. So 4 days a week, it leaves an extra day in case I miss a day, which usually ends up being Wednesdays. So it works. It's like 2 days, 1 day rest, and then 2 days again.
Nice, man. What are your goals in the gym? I know this is kind of off topic, but I feel like everything's free to speak about here.
Yeah.
It's all related somehow.
Yeah. It's just free for all. I'll be honest. I don't really have any goals in the gym. for me, like, it's really just a break. It's to go there and just listen to music and just do my thing. Obviously to feel and look good as well. And I find it indirectly helps with music as well, because obviously the healthier your body is, the easier it is to perform. I found my breath control is so much better. Even just the energy I have, like, because the gym for me is like an energizing activity.
For sure.
So, you know, if I'm having a tough day or I'm stressed, goes to gym, I kind of de-stress, but also re-energize myself to kind of go back and face the rest of the day or the week.
Yeah. It helps with focus and mindset, which in this career that we've so chosen is key and critical to performing at your best, or at least creating something that is authentic.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself forcing it?
On leg day. I don't love leg day.
I meant more on the art side of things.
Oh, my bad.
No, that's good to know. No one really likes leg day. Everybody hates, what is it, boat pose, abs sometimes, core?
Yeah. Okay, I'll come back to your original question, but leg day for me is just because it's so hard to see the progress. I think you feel the burn immediately. But,
oh, for sure.
I think legs are harder to grow than any other part of your body. At least, you know, like, you can leave the gym after doing like bicep curls or tricep dips or whatever, and you immediately see your arms are swole. Whereas with your legs, it's like, no, I just can't walk. I don't feel like I can't see the muscle. I just can't walk right now. So,
well, in a world where most of us, well, I guess in the first world where most of us are sitting at a desk or pretty sedentary for the most part, legs aren't the most often used feature of our being. You know what I mean? So what I've heard is, like, my understanding of going to the gym is you'll get the most sore when you exercise something you haven't exercised in a while. So
okay,
that's why it tends to be legs and core for most people.
I love core. Like, that burn is just the best. It hurts. It hurts a lot, though. It hurts to laugh afterwards, but I love core.
My man goes hard in the gym. That's good to hear.
Always. Like I said, the breath control, it actually makes a huge difference. Like, I was doing swimming at some point as well, and man, the next performance I had after the first day I swam was ridiculous. I was like, wow, I should do this more. But anyway, let's get back to your main question.
Yeah, please.
So forcing things, it kind of depends on the week. I think very few times do I put myself in situations where I'm doing things I don't like. I try my very best to live a life without regrets. So, you know, if I ever fall out of love with music, never going to happen. But if it did happen, I would probably take a break. You know, I'd step back and not do it. So when it comes to doing things within music, you know, the most or the closest I get, I would say I get to, like, forcing myself would be maybe going out to an event when I'm tired. And even then, it's not that I don't want to be at the event. It's just that I'm tired. I'm physically limited on, like, how much energy I can give. But if it was an event I didn't want to go to in the first place, I probably wouldn't have bought a ticket. I wouldn't have committed to it. So the forcing is almost like just pushing my body rather than going against what my mind feels or going against what my heart feels. Because most often, if something doesn't feel right to me, I just don't do it.
See, what I've been hearing a lot lately in the social media sphere is that, and these are all like motivators and gurus saying what I'm about to say, but it's when you don't feel like doing it, that's when you should do it. And I have my own opinion about that, but I understand it.
What's your opinion
I get
on that?
It. Yeah. Well, so my understanding of where this is coming from is that it's when you don't feel like doing it, if you still end up doing it, it means you're truly motivated to do it, and that you can prove to yourself that no matter what obstacles are in your way, you can still accomplish what you've set out to accomplish. My opinion of it, however, I feel like you can overexert yourself. I feel like you can burn yourself out. And I feel like though the risk factor of forcing yourself to do certain things when you mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, can't or don't want to, there's the potential of even greater detriment after the fact.
Yeah. I think so too. Yeah.
I guess it's probably situational, but.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I guess, it kind of depends. I think there's some things that we need to do, we don't want to do, but we can do. So I think maybe that might apply better. But when it's something that you don't necessarily need to do and want to do, but you don't want to do it, I don't know. I feel like if it's something you want to do, just your passion for it should drive you enough.
There you go.
Yeah, I usually feel it's harder
I think you need to force yourself more when something you don't want to do, but something that you need to do. Let's say like I don't know, filing taxes. You know, you probably don't want to do it. It's a lot of math, but you need to do it.
Oh my god!
You know, at the end of it, you finish. You're like, oh, not that it was easy, but it's done, which means I can do it. But
yeah, I love how that's the first example that comes to your mind.
Oh god, it's April, bro. Like April's next month.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I guess it's purely relevant. Yeah,
I've been watching it get closer and be like, oh god, I need to start this. I'm like, you see, that's something that I need to do because I don't want to. It's going to need that extra push or forcing for me to do it.
For sure. And then to go full circle back to what we were originally talking about, if you force yourself to go to the gym on a day where you don't feel like it or you feel fatigued, not mentally, physically, whatever, in the mode for it, that's probably, it creates a higher risk factor for injury.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're probably not paying attention. You're not present. Yeah.
You probably won't even push yourself hard enough such that if you had skipped that day, the next day you would be twice as efficient. Right? Whereas doing your taxes, you're probably not going to injure yourself from that.
I mean, you could make some mistakes that are pretty detrimental, but
one would hope that, you know, if it's not something that you're great at, you get someone to help you.
Worst case scenario, you get audited, which I don't know, God forbid, I guess. Anyways, bro, let's get to the meat of where I wanted this conversation to go, which honestly we have already talked quite a bit of. No matter where I want to direct conversations with you mentioned this last time, it's always a left turn from what's expected and intended, and same goes both ways for me, man. It's always a pleasure.
Good. But, I'm glad. Same.
I wanted to talk about inclusivity and exclusivity in the culture.
Okay.
Hip-hop.
Because
I'll be here.
Topic.
You go for it. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, do you mind like just giving a little context on what you mean? Like inclusivity and exclusivity in what ways?
Well, what first comes to your mind when you hear that?
So, but maybe let's start with inclusivity, in that I find, to be very honest, hip hop is very embracing of most cultures, embracing of new ideas, and I think that's why I love it so much, because you listen to a song and you're probably experiencing a couple of different genres at once. You're probably experiencing several histories at once.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah,
it's like a melting pot.
I think like it works so well for my over analytical brain, because I'm always breaking things down. So when I hear hip hop, I'm like, oh, wait, but this sample, where's that sample from? I go back, I'm like, oh man, da 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 da. You know what I mean? You get the whole history. So
absolutely,
I think that's hip hop's core, right? It's just all about giving people a platform to speak about whatever's on their mind. It doesn't necessarily need to be political, but you know, if you're feeling like, hey, I want to talk about shaking booties right now, it's like, cool. Hip hop's cool with that. You want to talk about the police and the situation, then you can do that too. Like it's open to all things you want to talk about. I feel like hip hop is very inclusive. From an exclusivity point of view, I think that it's interesting because I guess with anything, when it's open to everyone, you then get groups of people that kind of want to use it for their own gain, or use it in a different way than we expected. So what I mean by that is, you know, there's some people who rap because, you know, that saves their lives, right? You know, like it saves them from a deaded job. It saves them from really bad life situations. But for others,
someone out on the street.
Yeah, exactly, right? whereas for others, sometimes they just see it as like a way to get famous or a way to make money. And I'm like, fair enough. Like, I can't stop you. If you want to get famous, because there must be something right about what you're doing. But I think sometimes what that does is that, you know, it creates this barrier where some people are like, well, these are real rappers and these are, you know, fake rappers or whatever you want to call them. And I think that's where you start getting into exclusivity, right? Where people are like, well, if you're not an MC, then you're not a real rapper. If you can't freestyle, you're not a real rapper. If you can't do this, you're not a real rapper. So
you can't battle rap, bro.
Yeah, you see.
What are you?
And what are you, right? And I feel like, you know, obviously within the history of rap or the history of hip hop, these are all important pillars or factors that make up the whole culture of hip hop, right? So I think when you look at the four pillars or five pillars, you know, breakdancing, graffiti, MCing, DJing, and knowledge, I don't see those as the five pillars you have to have in an individual, but more as the five pillars you need to help continue growing the culture. So when someone says, you know, if you're a rapper but you can't dance, or you're not hip hop, I'm like, I don't think that's quite. I think this is too much, too literal interpretation. But also, yeah, again, just like anything that becomes accessible to the general public, like, it's going to morph and change into different things. You know, so
what if you don't want it to be accessible to the general population, or there's a certain subculture that you don't want it to be accessible to?
My question would be, why? Why are you against that subculture? Well, then that answers your question, right? Because
why are we shooting yourself in the foot? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, but don't you find that, let's say for example, that you find out that one of your favorite artists is transphobic. Right? Because that seems to be one of the popular conversations hovering in the social sphere as well these days.
Right.
But what if that happens to be the case and they're like, I don't want my music played at any LGBTQ plus trans whatever supporting promoting events.
So in that case, that person is being excludes. What do you call someone who excludes people? I don't know. Well, that person is the person excluding a group.
It almost sounds like you want to say exclusive, but that's has a
not
meaning.
The same thing.
Exclusionary. So, yeah. There you go.
That's what I was thinking. But I was like, I don't know if that's an actual word, but okay, exclusionary.
I think it is. Yeah, yeah.
Well, now it is. Either way,
We've defined it.
So, you know, that's an interesting question because like there's one rapper that came to mind immediately, and I was like, wow, I don't listen to that rapper for their thoughts on social issues anyway. So,
oh, fair enough. Is it Chris Brown?
No, okay. I thought the baby. Damn, look at you just calling out Chris. I mean, he's got his own issues, but go ahead.
No, someone brought up the idea of separating the art from the artist, and I personally don't see the value in doing that, because if somebody let's say somebody committed like a heinous crime, and then you still listen to and support and promote their music, are you not still putting money or influence into that person's pocket?
I agree. I feel like this is the difference between canceling and cancel culture. So what I mean by that is, I think it is important to hold people accountable for their actions. I do feel like, you know, obviously people get away with a lot of things because of their celebrity, right? I don't think being famous I don't think it changes people. I don't think like people become bad when they're famous. I think it's just they've got more resources to do what they were going to do anyway. So the reason we cancel them is to reduce that resource, to reduce that power.
Take away their megaphone.
Exactly. But in the same breath, I feel like sometimes people are quick to judge. And obviously, again, not in that specific case you mentioned. I mean, there's some issues where, so let's say, for example, I didn't know that the color purple is offensive in Canada.
Wait, what?
No. I'm making up an excuse. This is completely fictional. Completely fictional. You're like, yes, okay. I didn't know that either. But yeah, like, now let's pretend it's a real fact. I decide that every time I perform, because purple is my favorite color, I'm going to wear that color as I perform. For those who the color purple affects, that's offensive. They're like, this kid, the chosen guy, claims to, you know, speak for community and all that, but, you know, he hates me. How dare he? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think that's like I honestly did not know it was that deep. I've heard what you said. I'm going to take purple out of my set. Or I can explain why purple. Purple's my mom's favorite color. That's why I wear it. So, okay, so you're wearing it for a different reason. Okay, understood. Makes sense. Yeah. However, so I think like that's something that's the conversation. If you canceled me immediately, it's like, damn, bro, like you didn't even give me a chance to explain myself or take the time to figure out what was going on or get context. Whereas if it's something like, you know,
is that canceling or cancel culture?
I'd say that's cancel culture when you just completely remove someone without even looking deeper into it. Because I say it's cancel culture because I think
it's almost like taking someone's word for it.
Yeah, I think the culture is more kind of the almost like the mass reaction that's created, and that's why I say culture, right? Because a culture comes from different people or a group of people doing the same thing. Whereas canceling, I think, is more direct. It's close to like calling out, right? Where it's like, hey, you're doing something wrong. Let's talk about it. Should we or should we not allow you to continue what you're doing? Yeah. Whereas cancel culture is just an immediate gut reaction. Oh, he wore purple? Done. We're done with him. Yeah. Finished. It's like, wait, a shitty game
of telephone.
Yeah. You don't even wait to hear what was the context. You just immediately react. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason it's bad, one, is because obviously you shut down a lot of people before you get to hear their situation. But also, it becomes a self-censoring environment where now, because you're so scared to do or say anything, artists and creatives or journalists or whoever is putting out art into the world end up changing what they're going to say before they've even said it, because now there's a fear of being canceled. And I think that's why it's dangerous, because it's actually destroying the creative process and also destroys the fan experience, right? Because now it's like, well, you can't listen to all these artists. It's like, well, damn, what am I supposed to listen to? Obviously, with the caveat that there are some people who've done some really terrible things. And I think sometimes it's just, you know, it's some of these things are like point blank, right? Like, you've seen the evidence, or they're repeat offenders. So it's like, well, you know, we're going to cancel you for now until you learn your lesson and maybe show genuine atonement for the things you've done. Then maybe we'll bring you back. But you need to feel the repercussions of your actions.
Because everybody loves a redemption story.
There you go. And I think that's why it's so important, because otherwise it gives this impression that people who are larger than life can get away with things, and it inspires people to do the wrong things. It lets people get away with the wrong things. It just requires everybody to have like two more seconds of patience and not just jump onto headlines and be like, hey, let me do some critical thinking here. Said person is said to have done this, but I think said person is more like this. Why do I think this way? Why do I want to support them? Why do I want to stop supporting them? And I think this is where it comes into that art and like separating the art and person from each other. I think in most cases it shouldn't be done, because whoever the person is influenced by the art, right? So, you know, if you've gone through a traumatic experience and your music is something that talks about traumatic experiences, then if I remove you from your music doesn't exist. Where there's some people where the art and the art and the person is slightly different. And what I mean by that is like, they never will be, because like there's something about your personal life that influences your art. But more like, you know, take someone like Kanye West. His life is very public, and the things he goes through are very public, like whether it's publicly in his music or just in the things he does. Or even a better example is DJ Khaled, actually. Just with the way he's always on his phone, you know, like Snapchat, showing us his wife, showing us his house, showing us the process of coming, bringing the music.
Does he still do that?
Yeah, apparently he does. He was on the, I had his first runway experience for some passion show for Hugo Boss, I think. And he was showing us his watch ahead of time. He was saying, yo, Naomi Campbell, come out, where you at? So like he's kind of like hyping us up, which I think is beautiful, because you don't get to see the behind the scenes of things. But if something was to happen and we try to separate it, you really can't, because DJ Khaled's life is part of the art we experience, right? Where if someone's private life, like they intentionally keep it private, and then something comes out, you know, depending on what it is, I think it is easier to separate the art, because the art is not influenced by what they give us in their public life. So for example, someone getting a speeding ticket, I'm like, okay, that's terrible that, you know, you're driving fast and you should have been. Does that make you a bad person? Does that make your art bad? Not really. Like, it's not connected. Whereas if you had people locked up in your basement to record all the vocals for your song, that's directly related, because the music came out of this, you know, this thing that you did to people involved. You know, so I don't know if that makes sense. Just like, these are obviously extreme examples.
Yeah, that's a very extreme example. That makes me think of, to put it into kind of a more realistic example, would be somebody like R. Kelly, I guess. He doesn't necessarily have people locked up in his basement creating his music, but he does have like a cult.
Yes.
Where he does inappropriate things, allegedly. I haven't dug into it, but from what I've heard.
Yeah. So things like that, where it's like, so again, maybe it's weird, because then do you argue like, so is his art actually connected to his personal life? Is it not? But I think at that point, like, the weight of what you're being accused of outshines, you know, the weight of your music. And I think that's one other thing that people have to take into context or into consideration, is that it's always going to be personal for people who like or are deeply connected to that artist or creative.
We're going to take a quick break and listen to a track by K the Chosen. This one is titled The Nod.
We ain't in a squad, but you know it's going down when you see another one from across the room. We ain't in a squad, you might find it kinda odd. We give each other the nod, what you gon' do? The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. What you talking about? Ay. The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. What you talking about? We ain't in a squad, but you know it's going down when you see another one from across the room. We ain't in a squad, you might find it kinda odd. We give each other the nod, what you gon' do? The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. What you talking about? Ay. The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. Nothing left to say. First time that I got the nod, didn't know what was going on. Friends asked, do you know him, bruh? I laugh hard as I tell them no, but I get it though. In a room full of people, we the only kinfolk, speak the same lingo, even if you don't know each other. But you're my brother, just from another land. Different hustle, same struggle, man, I understand. A form of communication started by generations oppressed and segregated, forced into migration to work on these plantations, then killed with no hesitation. Civil rights revolution ended with assassination. So now you understand why we speak in code anytime we have a plan. So if you nod, then you know I'll nod back. I got you like you got me, because we both black. We ain't in a squad, but you know it's going down when you see another one from across the room. We ain't in a squad, you might find it kinda odd. We give each other the nod, what you gon' do? The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. What you talking about? Ay. The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. What you talking about? We ain't in a squad, but you know it's going down when you see another one from across the room. We ain't in a squad, you might find it kinda odd. We give each other the nod, what you gon' do? The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. What you talking about? Ay. The nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod, the nod. Nothing left to say.
It's always going to be personal for people who like or are deeply connected to that artist or creative. Because I find that's why, like, the cancel conversation really comes up with artists that we like, not artists we don't know. If it's some random person from down the street, you're like, cancel this guy. You're like, no, I don't know. Cool. Whatever. I don't care. Like, I don't listen to his music anyway, so it makes no difference to me.
Or even if you do, like, listen to his music, it's just one song you've taken to and you're not necessarily a fan.
Exactly. So removing it doesn't change anything. For his people like R. Kelly, you know, a lot of people have played his music at weddings. They've played his music at, like, sports events. So his music is very ingrained in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it hard to cancel those kinds of people, right? But it's also what makes it so important about doing it, because these people have such a big impact on your life and they've got, like, just so much power.
Yeah.
You know,
influence on the human psyche.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that's. It's a very nuanced conversation, because it then forces people to really think each time they want to accuse someone, let's do the research. Let's look into their lives. What were they doing before this? What were they? And people don't want to do that. So that's why canceling is good. Cancel culture, I think, is not.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. I'm glad that we had this conversation, because I've never heard about it in that much depth, I'd say. And I'd like to think that we're just kind of spitballing ideas and these aren't things that we've necessarily thought of before. I don't know if that's true for you.
So I'll have to be honest, like, I had to do a bunch of research on this. I did a TED talk on exactly this. I was like, oh,
share.
Maybe try not to recreate. So, I mean, the TED talk wasn't exactly this. It was, essentially, I talked about leadership in the digital age, just because I feel like with the internet, a lot of people hide behind avatars and, you know, they say things, and it's also why cancel culture has become a thing, because ordinarily this would be like a small conversation, like between you and myself or a small group of people. And, you know, if you say X, everybody knows that Jordan said X. If I say Y, everybody knows that Kayla Joseph said Y. But within the internet, we have no idea who we're talking to. So, you know, there's people who come into the conversation just to incite violence. There's people who come into the conversation just to see what will happen. And then there's people who come into the conversation because they're actually passionate about the outcome. And obviously there's people who are affected. But, you know, being a leader in those times, or in these times, is very tricky because of that. Because sometimes you have people following you for the wrong reason. You have people not following you for the wrong reason, or vice versa for the right reason for both. And it just makes it so much more important to think about what you're doing as a leader and how you lead. And obviously with that conversation came cancel culture, because as you grow as a leader and you get power and things like that, you know, what are you doing with this power? Are you using it for good? How are you checking yourself as you get bigger? Because I think that's the one thing too, right? We all have egos. So, you know, some people have small egos, some people have big egos. And if you started at big and your resources only get bigger, what happens? If you started at small and your resources get bigger, what happens? So I touched on some of these things. So like I did a lot of research into like R. Kelly's canceling and things like that. And
oh, nice. Yeah,
it was fun.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's very trippy. I guess in the context of what we were just talking about, do you think it's important to separate K the Chosen, the artist, the leader, from you as Tabo Chinake?
Yeah, I think for me, it just helps me kind of filter where I know people from at like the very base level. So if someone comes up to me and says, hey, K, I know that they know me from a show. If they use my government, I'm like, oh, okay, you probably know me in real life. I think also because...
Did you say government name?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, real name, whichever way you want. My legal name, whichever
way. My birth name.
My birth name, my real name. I don't know, whichever way you want to call
it. Yeah. No, I hear you.
I feel like people forget about what are called parasocial relationships. So essentially, think of like when you listen to a podcast, when you watch TV or you watch a show, you get very invested in that person or that character's life just because you interact with it often, which can lead to you thinking you actually know the person on a personal level. So let's say, for example, you know, someone listens to your podcast, right? They're hearing your voice so often. They're hearing you talk so often. At some point, they're going to start to pick up the things you joke about, your tone and voice, like to a certain point where they actually feel, oh man, I know Jordan like a homie, you know? So when they meet you in real life, like, yo, Jordan, how's the wife? How's this? How's that? And, you know, on your end, you know you've talked about it, but you don't know who heard it, you know? So when someone comes up to you and asks you all these intimate details about your life, it's actually kind of scary. You're like, wait, how do you know all these? Oh, right, I talked about this. Right. I did. Sorry, this is information I gave to the public, but you don't know who's hearing it, and you also don't know what they're doing with the information. So for me, separating the artist's life and personal life is very important. I think especially because I work so hard as an artist, I like to be able to take the day off and be like, yo, today I'm not K the Chosen. I'm just chilling. I'm not even, I don't exist. Like, I've disappeared for a day.
What I do over the weekends. Which one is the character?
I don't think they're characters in terms of like fictional or not real. I think they're just different sides of the same coin. So I think they influence both sides, right? So being an artist influences my personal life, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of creative things that I do in my personal life, but that aren't music related. And there's a lot of things in my personal life that come in through stories as K the Chosen.
And there are some boundaries between both of them as well. Stuff you won't allow to seep into the other side of the coin.
Exactly. So for me personally, I think it's healthy. I think each person has their boundaries and where they feel comfortable. I just like to be able to tune out sometimes, you know, like just like, I'm chilling. I'm not K the Chosen today, you know?
Yeah. You know, in fact, maybe I'm nobody. Maybe I'm just, at the whim of whatever comes across my awareness.
Well, is that how you feel?
Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's talk. Cause you mentioned that you were, creating content for TikTok, and I think I got a notification on my phone just this morning, just shortly after I messaged you, actually, which is a weird coincidence, that so certain government entities have banned TikTok off of government property, which sounds like a no-brainer. Like, shouldn't that have been the standard already? But I think I saw something which states that it might be up for conversation in terms of banning on a larger scale.
I've been doing my best to keep up with that story because I think at first I was like, okay, it seems to be in the US, and then the UK jumped on, and I think Canada is one of the countries that's looking specifically government first. But the UK looks like, not the UK, the US is looking like they might, again, remember this first happened when TikTok first came out, when Trump was still president, and they wanted to ban TikTok from the US, and then they had to cave because TikTok was just doing so well.
I think it was acquired. They gave their operations to a U.S.-based company.
Right. Yeah. This is when Oracle and Microsoft and all those were bidding. Yes, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because TikTok is one of those platforms that blurs the line, right? Because you've got so many people showing you their day-to-day life and then their real life. In a weird way, like, I'm kind of waiting to see how this plays out because just from my personal perspective, TikTok hasn't been as great for musicians as it used to be. So I think obviously once they needed to start registering music, you can't use as many songs. So, you know, trying to promote music has become harder. Like,
yeah.
I try to do, I did a performance for a festival and I was just trying to do a quick snippet of my performance and TikTok flagged it. They're like, you can't use this song. It belongs to K the Chosen. I'm like, K the Chosen. But okay, thanks.
That's hilarious.
And I
have
K the Chosen. I was like, this is. And then YouTube does that too sometimes. I'm like,
yeah.
At least YouTube will still let you put it up. You just can't monetize it. But TikTok just removed the sound from the video. I'm like, thanks, TikTok. I love it. Love this. I love it.
That's funny. It almost makes you wonder who's steering the ship in that regard.
Yeah.
Because I've heard of, especially in terms of TikTok, that they apparently behind the scenes boost certain videos and they select it based on who's going to provide them as a company the most value. So that's why I'm feeling that you might have that perspective of it's not as lucrative for artists to create content on it anymore because there seems to be not necessarily a shadow banning, but a shadow promoting occurring.
Yeah. I mean, not to sound like a skeptic or anything, but I think that's something that people always just need to consider. When you're given a free service, it's never free. Like, what are you trading for that, right? If it's an app or whatever you're signing up for is free, ask yourself, what are they gaining from me? Sometimes it's not anything evil or
sometimes
like
it's just
bad.
Ad revenue.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not just ad revenue. Sometimes it's just market research, right? So when, let's say, for example, a business says, hey, please try some free samples. All they need to know is which people stopped to try the free sample and what was their feedback. That's all they needed back from me because now they know, okay, of the two new cookie flavors we made, cookie B was a favorite. Right. Don't release cookie A on the market. Release cookie B. You know, you got it for free and then they got free research, right?
Yeah.
But obviously with bigger companies, there's way more than free research that they're receiving.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what if they want to promote cookie B more than cookie A and they want to show cookie B as the more prominent cookie?
Well, again, you're getting it for free. So, you know, you're getting a free cookie.
Okay, let's say cookie A is the, I'm going to go too far with this. Cookie A is the liberal agenda and cookie B is the conservative agenda.
Okay, you went there. Well, then you have to ask yourself, who's the cookie company? Why are they pushing B instead of A?
It's TikTok. It's the Chinese government. I don't know.
Well, then it makes sense then, no?
If they want to, here's the alleged perception, or my understanding of the perception is that if they can push, if discourse can be pushed enough in your opponent or in whoever is opposing you, then you can gain the upper hand and the advantage.
Yeah.
So creating divisiveness, essentially.
Which, again, is what I'm saying, where it's like when you get something for free, you've got to ask why you're getting it for free, right? Because...
But does the general consumer ask themselves that question?
Definitely not. And this is why it kind of goes back to what I was saying about the cancel culture thing, right? Where it's the same issue where I think there's been a drop in critical thinking, right? Where it's like when you see an article, you just react to it and you don't ask, wait, who's this article coming from? Why would they have something against or for this person?
Yeah.
So
who are their sources?
Who are their sources, right? And who's funding those sources, right? Because that can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
So the same thing with a social media platform or anything that's being given to you for free. You've
Fox
got to ask,
News.
Wise.
Just kidding. I'm sorry.
You're on an agenda today.
Apparently. Who's funding me?
Who's funding you?
Who are you working for? Who are you working for? And why am I after K the Chosen's fan base? Sorry, go on.
Oh, I'm talking about that. That was a dry conversation. what was I saying? I'm lost. Oh, yeah. So social media. social media and so not specifically social media, just anything that you're given for free, you've got to ask yourself why, right? So even think about when you get like a free membership to a gym or you know, like a food delivery service, usually there's some terms involved, right? It's like, so you get a free 3 months at the gym if you bring two more people, or if you post, or you tag us in this. So, you know, again, you've just got to ask yourself, is what I'm getting for free worth what I'm giving for free, right? Because essentially it's kind of like a trade-off. It's difficult because I like, as much as I'm saying people don't do critical thinking or aren't as much of critical thinkers as we should be, I also feel like there's an abundance of information now where you're having to process so much information in a day anyway. It is hard to find the time to, like, imagine if you were researching every single article you came across in a day. Like, if you actually ask yourself how many articles you see a day or how many videos or whatever you check, you wouldn't have the time in the day to fact check everything, right? And I think it also just makes us very paranoid too if you're fact checking everything. But it's just more about, you know, I think being a bit more conscious of what you're doing, conscious of what you're putting time to, conscious of what you're putting money to. Because, you know, at the end of the day, people complain or don't understand, oh, they've got all information. It's like, yeah, but on some level, you gave it. I mean, obviously, there's some services which in the modern world, you almost cannot function without them. So, for example, being able to, like, search on Google, like, you'd be so disadvantaged if you couldn't, like, do research at the click of a button.
Yeah.
But obviously, that comes with cost. Like, Google is tracking the data, how many searches are being made on certain things. And, you know, when it's general.
What demographic you occupy.
Yeah, you know, with general things like how many people search up cars in a day, I'm like, well, that's pretty useless information. It doesn't make a difference to you, right? But when it is like, you know, how many people are shopping for this certain product in this certain region, you know, it's scary because then, yeah, like marketing, digital marketing is like targeted at you because they know so much about you. But again, you hope it's more as a random statistic as opposed to this is Kay the Chosen. He lives at this address and over here and eats at this point in time. And this song's on Spotify. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is the balance. We just all need to be, I guess, a bit more aware of what we're doing. And I guess, like what I said at the very top of the episode, it's like, hey, don't do what you don't like because, you know, you never know what you're trading for these things that you don't like.
Yeah. Moral of the story is be consciously aware of what you're consuming, why you're consuming it, and maybe even perhaps how it's influencing you and in what direction.
Exactly.
Hey, and why is it Cookie B?
And why is it Cookie B? Exactly.
Anyways, brother, we are running in overtime here. Is there anything you want to say on the sign off?
Man, we talked about so many things.
And you know what? That wasn't even, we didn't even skim the surface of, sometimes I do half an hour of research. Sometimes I do an hour of research in order to kind of direct the conversation and have like a basis for what I want to talk about.
Okay.
And sometimes I run out of those things on my list. But for our conversations, I barely skim the surface of it.
That's crazy.
No, it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
It means I don't have to do research for our next conversation.
Fair. So I'm curious. Maybe to wrap it up, what is one talking point that maybe I can try and give a concise answer to and not a whole TED talk on?
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's talk about rising to fame and the potential path. Nah, not the potential pathways. Would becoming the GOAT be on your list of dreams?
I said one that I could give you a quick answer to. That's a loaded question.
It's a yes or no question. Does Kay the Chosen want to be the greatest of all time? Can he do that in Calgary, Alberta? Or does he have to go to the OG territory of New York in the Bronx where hip-hop first originated?
It's not that straightforward a question, to be honest. Okay,
it's a yes or no question. Just kidding.
It's not. It's a maybe. So the reason it's a maybe is because... Yeah, so it's a maybe because I don't... Like, being the most famous rapper is not really a concern of mine. I'm just like, I just want my music to reach the people it reaches. If having 100 million followers means it reaches people, then awesome. If having 10 followers means it reaches the people it needs to reach, then awesome. Like, for me, it's not... Like, I enjoy making music regardless, but I know how music has changed my life. So I just want my music to reach the people that it needs to reach.
I hear
you. In terms of, like, achievements that I want to achieve, there's a lot of things that I just want to do because I think it would be fun. So things like being on Sway in the morning and freestyling for Sway. I'm like, yes, there's clout that comes with that, but I also just want to see Sway's reaction when I freestyled. Like, Am I as good as I think I am? It's just like, okay.
All right, next up on the list, we've got, you know, okay, yeah. Like, oh, it's crazy.
So for me, it's just things like that, where it's just like experiential.
It would be nice to have access to all the different facets, I guess.
Yeah, and like doing
or
a tiny
the potential
desk
of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be dope.
It would be fun. Yeah, like I think I'd freaking kill it in a tiny desk concert. But in terms of like the bigger dreams I have, I would rather want to be known as, you know, someone who really created a pathway for musicians and for other creatives. So maybe being one of the most legendary A&R executives or artist development or creative consultant out there. And that's why I'm like, it's not a yes or no question for me. It's like, yes, I want to be successful as a musician, but that success as a musician really filters into my bigger dream of helping artists reach their full potential. So I don't want to be Drake or the next GOAT. I want to be part of making the next GOAT. Because I think, again, coming back to that separation of personal and artistic life, when you are a larger-than-life artist, your life is always available to the public, no matter how hard you try, because they want to know, what did Drake have for supper yesterday? Who's Drake dating right now?
How's his kid doing?
Exactly. Yeah. That's literally what I was going to say next. What's Drake's kid doing for his birthday? So I think that has a very big strain on the people around you and who you could have in your life, right? Because if you've always got cameras in front of you, some people are comfortable with that, others are not. You could lose friends and family members over that stuff.
Man.
And that, to me, is not worth it. So again, the trade-off, right? Like, oh, I got famous, but at what cost?
For real.
Whereas
on that note, sorry, go for it.
Okay, one quick line. So for me, on the business side, it's like, well, I get to help someone else who wants that life achieve it, but also I get to be behind the scenes. I can still go out in public and, you know, depending on where I am, a lot of people won't know who I am, you know? So
you still get to be both sides of the coin.
Exactly. I'd love to be on a plane and someone's telling me about the next big artist, like, yo, he's crazy. He just won 3 Grammys, blah, 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 blah. So what do you think of his music? It's like, oh, no, it's good. You know, like, I helped him write that song. He's like, wait, what? Who are you? And it's like, I'm his manager. I don't know. Something like that would be so much fun to me, where someone's just going off and they don't even realize who I am. And I'm like, that's fine, because it means I can do whatever I want without being pestered.
There you go. And I was going to say, I came across a story recently about how apparently Michael Jackson would, they'd close down grocery stores for him such that he could experience
what life, it's like.
Like a normal life. Yeah, because he was famous from a very young age, right? So he never got to be an adult in a grocery store in the typical manner.
And can you imagine how crazy that is? That your life is so like outside of the norm that they have to stage normal life experiences for you.
But here's the opposite side of that. Uh-huh. Some of us are never going to experience the things that he gets to experience, which are probably some of us dream of experiencing, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, at what cost? Because that came with a lot of accusations. Because he's in that same cancel conversation, right?
The controversial,
And I don't want to equate him to R. Kelly, but just in the terms of the struggle people have, right? Where Michael Jackson's music is so ingrained in our lives that it's not as easy as saying, oh, just cancel him. It's like, well, you know, my parents grew up to this song. This song is in all these ads. So
it gives me
like I said,
feelings to hear Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, you know? And like there's so much good that he put into the world as well. So now it just kind of depends like where are you on the fence in terms of the accusations. So, you know, and I think the scary thing is that when you get to that stage or that popularity, there's some people who intentionally create stories to bring you down. And I think that sometimes is the scariest thing to me, where it's like, you know, your family and friends obviously want to trust you, but what impact does that have on their lives when you're being accused of something that's almost unforgivable?
Oh boy.
Yeah. And that's why it's a maybe, because I don't want to be famous as myself. It's like, Kay the Chosen can be famous. And then if I decide I'm no longer Kayla Jones, I can walk away from that. But you can't walk away when your life and that life are the same.
I hear you. Sometimes you don't want cookie A or cookie B.
I just want biscuit, cookie, same thing. I just want a sandwich. I don't want a cookie. I just want a sandwich.
I just want a sandwich and I want to go to the gym.
There you go. That's it. That's all I want today. I don't want no cookies. I don't want no biscuits.
Kay the Chosen, I really appreciate the conversation and the time you've given me today.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you. Like, always, you, likewise. You said some very interesting thoughts. So
that's inside of it to inspire. So
yeah,
thank you for being there. That
you
catalyst.
Go. And if you end up getting, if you become the GOAT that I know that you can become, I will take a certain level of credit for that.
All right, that's fair. You'd be like, yo, we talked about it first in my podcast.
Yeah, there you go. All right, brother, thank you so much. I really appreciate this time.
Oh, it was a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll chat again soon. Okay, take care, brother.
All right, you stay well.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Re-Evolve Media Revolution Podcast featuring K the Chosen. My name was Jordan Lewis. This was our second last episode. The final episode featuring Junk and Isaac Zale will be released tomorrow, along with a little surprise, tomorrow being February 23rd. 23rd? Yes, 23rd, 2024. We are going to leave you right now with another track by K the Chosen. This one is titled Orchard, featuring Nate Lesko. Enjoy and take care.
No, it should come as no surprise. Little mama caught me, I was staring at her thighs. No disrespect, girl, I apologize. Don't know what it is, but I'm feeling your vibe. Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, can I play inside your orchard? Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, let me play inside your orchard.
Let me nip this in the bud, I just wanna get some love. Perfect number. Add me to your bed, then subtract the covers. I wonder, are you like the others? 3-day rule. Do you do what you want? A skinny dipping in the pool. Do you need convincing, or are you into sinning? Do we need to change positions? Do we share the same perspective?
It should come as no surprise. Little mama caught me out, staring at her thighs. No disrespect, girl, I apologize. Don't know what it is, but I'm feeling your vibe. Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Can I play inside your orchard? Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, let me play inside your orchard.
A lesson in listening and just lessening pain. An intimate experience that you will want again. Ignoring all the warnings that you hear from your friends. Your body, I adore it, I explore it, and then I'm kissing on your tulips. The flower I devour, I be sipping all them juices. Make a moment last for hours. Get that O like a biscuit. Twist it, lick it, terrific. Tongue game consistent like a kitty when it's clean. I'm a genie, make a wish so you can ride this magic carpet.
Did you come as no surprise?
Little mama called me, I was staring at her thighs. No disrespect, girl, I apologize. Don't know what it is, but I'm feeling your vibe.
Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, can I play inside your orchard? Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, let me play inside your orchard. Smell the fragrance on your neck. Maybe it's just your fat. Would you tell me if you got someone? Cause I don't mean no disrespect. You could come through and see me. I'm trying to be in your scene. If there's time for you, I'm free. I'm feeling you if you're feeling me. Oh me, I'm feeling the idea of us tonight. Tell you where you move, it's on my mind. I'll be the one to give you everything in only one night. One night. Baby girl, tell me what's your type. What you like? Body on me, then ice, it's running, baby, let's make it right. It's you and me this time. It should come as no surprise. Little mama caught me, I was staring at her thighs. No disrespect, girl, I apologize. Don't know what it is, but I'm feeling your vibe. Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, can I play inside your orchard? Don't know your name, but I know that you're gorgeous. Hey, let me play inside your orchard. Let me play inside your orchard.